You guys may be seated. Today we're going to look at the shepherds. Now, before we get into the shepherds, we need to talk about the sheep. There's a lot of propaganda about sheep. How many of you guys heard sheep are dumb? You guys heard that? I might even said it myself sometime. And in one sense, they are. They're very dumb. Okay? But not that God designed them that way. They're not dumb because he designed them to be dumb. They're stubborn. They're stubborn creatures. And they need to worry about danger, enemies, predators, because literally they have no self-defense. They don't have great big claws. They don't have horn. I mean, they're sheep. They're just not much for predators. Really no defensive capabilities in themselves. And sheep, they easily fall into what they call a herd mentality. Basically, follow the leader. They're so easily swayed to follow one sheep off the path or just astray just to just get lost. And I don't know if you guys remember this, but several years back there was 450 Turkish sheep leaped to their deaths. And Istanbul, Turkey. It says, first one sheep jumped to his death. Now, was the sheep depressed? Or, you know, we have no idea why that first sheep took the leap. But after that first sheep took the leap, the rest followed. 1,500 sheep went up and jumped over off the cliff. It says the shepherds were just stunned But the shepherds had actually left the herd to go eat breakfast. And in the end, 450 of the animals died when they hit the ground, and they built up a pile, and so that the others that fell didn't actually die. They were cushioned by the sheep that had already jumped and were dead. So here you could read this article and you could easily come to the conclusion, what? Sheep are dumb. Right? Because all of our parents at one time, all you moms out there, maybe a couple of your dads, but I'm sure the moms have said, if you're all your friends jump off the bridge, you're going to jump off too? How many of you guys heard that? All right. Well, if you were a sheep, you probably would. Because sheep are dumb, right? But it's not that they're dumb. It's not. You see, God designed the sheep, as he does with all things, for his glory. And there's nothing that God says, and there's nothing that God does that doesn't have meaning and purpose. And sometimes we look too deep into it, but everything has purpose and meaning with God. And everything in his design is meant for his glory. And he designed sheep, not dumb, but dependent. They're an animal that depends on something bigger outside of themselves to keep them safe and on the right path. One of the few animals, if not the only animal, that really needs a guide, a shepherd. They're designed that way. And a lot of times, you know, as a human race, we think independence is where freedom is, where it's all about. I want to be dependent. I want to run my own life. I want to call my own shots. I want to do my own thing. And being dependent means maybe you're weak and we want to be independent. And so we see dependency as a negative thing. But it's not, if it's done correctly. Being dependent usually refers a relationship. And relationships are good. We're created to be relational beings. I'm dependent on my wife. I've come to be that way. Could I live my life and everything before Wendy? Yeah. But since coming together, I'm dependent on her to be my wife. Life has changed. There's a relationship there. She's dependent on me and I'm dependent on her. I'm even dependent on my kids to a certain point. And they're dependent on me. I'm not dependent on them to take care of me or anything until I get really old. And then I'll come, Yeah, amen. No, it's relationships. I'm dependent on their presence in my life. Their personalities. They're just... Dependency is a good thing if it's done correctly. And the sheep are dependent on a shepherd. Without a shepherd, they can go astray. So in God's perfect wisdom, he created the humble sheep. He chose the sheep to make a point. A point about us as humans, because he refers to us as sheep. And if you just think sheep are dumb, then that could be insulting, right? But if you understand that that means they're just dependent, it's not a bad thing. It means we need a relationship with something outside of ourselves. We need to be connected to something greater than ourselves. And it's good to have a shepherd. So looking at the shepherds, they're a crucial part of the Christmas story. And they point us to something much greater than just their role in the story. But let's begin there with their role. So why don't you go ahead and hit play.
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.
Okay, I stopped right there. Now, we talked last week of the location of his birth, the humbleness, the lowliness of it. But here's another aspect when we're looking at the story. Why shepherds? Why did the angels, or the angel himself, and then the rest of the angels join him later, appear to the shepherds of all people? Some say, well, they're the only ones that were awake. You know, everyone else was asleep. Maybe. But they appeared to shepherds. Now, if you know anything about the first century, Jerusalem, Israel, and you know anything about sheep, sheep don't smell all that great together. And when they're in their herds, they're quite smelly animals. I don't know why, but they are. And shepherds spend all their time watching the sheep. And shepherds were really, they were appreciated by the Jewish people because of the wool and the sheep, especially the ones out of Bethlehem, were the primary providers to the sheep in the temple for the sacrificial system. So shepherds in one way were appreciated, but in another way they were shunned by society. And, you know, uneducated types and unsophisticated. They're out in the wilds with the sheep all the time. They smell like sheep. They're dirty. They're roughnecks or whatever you want to call them. You're not the ones you're going to invite to a nice Christmas party, right? You're not really going to hang out with these kind of people. Probably the only other people that were more shunned in the Jewish culture were lepers. Shepherds were really isolated, kind of loners, or just with their little group, and they did their thing. And the angels chose them. Of all the people in the area, the angel chose the shepherds. I think it was for a good reason. It shows, in conjunction with the place of his birth, the lowliness of it, there was no person, no place that Christ would not go to reach people. And it doesn't matter how much society may shun you, God sees you, and he loves you, and he comes after you. And he'll go wherever he has to go to reach the lowliest person, all the way up to the highest person. I think that's why he came to the shepherds. But there also might be another reason added on to that as well, is that for all of the Jewish history, being a shepherd or aspects of shepherding were all through what God wrote, all through the Old Testament. And we know when the Jews first came in, the sons came in to Egypt when Joseph was there. They were shepherds. And the Egyptians despised the shepherds. They didn't like shepherds. And so they gave them this far-off land in Egypt. It was really rich in soil and everything, and gave that to them. So at the very beginning, the patriarchs, the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel were shepherds. And then towards the end of the book of Genesis, and Joseph is talking here and he's blessing his sons, and he makes this statement. And that's the first statement that I see of how a shepherd is used, the word shepherd, and the example of a shepherd is used towards God. Genesis 49:24. But his bow remained his in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, whose name would be Israel. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And they saw God as their shepherd. Even Jeremiah wrote about it. Jeremiah 31:10. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. And say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. And when he brings Israel back into the land, which he did, he's going to guard them and shepherd them. God is the shepherd of Israel, of that nation. He has called them to be his people. But God also calls individuals. He's a shepherd for the nation of Israel. But he also calls people to be in a relationship with him, to be dependent upon him. That he could be their shepherd personally. David wrote about this in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Tools of a shepherd. So there's this understanding. God is God and he's the shepherd of Israel, but he's also a personal shepherd. He cares about us individually. And it's interesting, David here writing about this. David was a shepherd. He was a shepherd long before he became king. And when God made him king, it was for the specific purpose for David under God as the great shepherd. David was to shepherd the nation. We see this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, to David, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel. Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. The shepherd who became king. God promised that David's throne here would be established forever through the lineage of David. That one who was going to come from the line of David would bring peace on the earth. Who one day would rule the world in righteousness from the throne of David. The one who would be born in the city of David. The one who would be the good shepherd. The true shepherd for all people. Isaiah talks about this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, here's another classic piece of evidence or proof of the return of Israel to the land, of becoming a nation once again. Because if Christ is to return and rule as the Bible has said he will, by the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. For God to have Jesus sit upon the throne of David and issue a government that will have no end, Israel has to be back in the land. A child is born, a son is given. This was written 600 years before Christ. Then we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. A son is given. And she'll call his name Jesus. He will be great. And he'll be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, whose 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. He will reign over the house of Jacob, over Israel, forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." So again, we see the beautiful need to understand that the church, all those who are born again in Christ, do not become and replace the Jewish people. We are all descendants of Abraham by faith, or spiritual seeds of Abraham. But look, Jesus will reign over the house of Jacob. Israel. And there, when he begins that reign, there will be no end. So this descendant would come from the house of David, the lineage of David. And we know it's Jesus Christ. And as David began as a shepherd and then became king, the one here, he's born as a king. But he becomes even more than that to us. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And we know this is God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And this little baby who was born in such a lowly place, born a king, but didn't come as king. He came to be our Savior, our sacrifice. He came to be a servant. And he came to become what he said in John 10, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So, why do we need a shepherd? Why does every human being, whether they realize it or not, need Jesus as a shepherd in their lives? And then you can ask from this verse, why does the shepherd need to give his life for the sheep? Isaiah 53, verse 1. I've quoted this psalm, this chapter, probably more times in the last 12 years than any other passage in Scripture. But right here, everything you need is found. The gospel is found. Everything you need to understand is right here in this beautiful chapter. Isaiah 53, verse 1. "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and now as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." If there was nothing about Jesus that would attract you to Jesus, what attracted the people? Think about that. Me and Wendy were talking about that earlier in the week, and we're like, you know, what attracted people to him? There was nothing that you'd go, "Hey, I want to hang out with that guy," or "Hey, I want to follow that guy." But they did. And the world is still. He's been the most effective person in human history. No one has affected human history like Jesus Christ. You need to ask yourself why and think about that. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his or her own way. And if you study human history, not just biblical history of the Jews, but just human history, humanity is always going astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've been taught to follow your heart. Chase what you want. Chase all these things. The world says, if you have these things, you'll be happy. People get those things and they're not happy. There's all these voices out there telling us they have the answer. And all those voices lead us away from God. And you know, we're a herd mentality as well. You know that? We like to fit in, don't we? So if everyone else is doing something, we don't want to be looked upon or, you know, made fun of. So maybe we'll join in the herd. You know, when you're out there by yourself and you're calling your own shots and doing your own thing, it's easy for someone to come along and lead you astray. And a lot of people are like those sheep we read about in Turkey. You see, there's a path and it's called wide. And many travel on that path. And many have been warned to get off that wide path. Jesus talked about it this himself. He says, wide is the way. And there are many who walk on that path. And that path is leading to destruction. It's leading to the cliff. And the first one jumps off. And the second and the third and the fourth. And it's been that way for all of human history. God says, get off that path and find the narrow path. But over here, you're not with maybe a lot of your friends, and you're not accepted in polite society or regular society, and you're kind of isolated over here sometimes, and it's lonely. It can be lonely. That's why God designed the church, so we weren't by ourselves in this. But a lot of humanity are like sheep, and they're following the crowd. And even though they've been warned, many teenagers growing up in church, their youth group, are warned and warned. Do not go out. And once you get out into the world, don't follow the wide path. Don't follow everybody else. Walk with Christ. And they still go down the wide. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has done this. I know. I was one of those kids that grew up in church, and I was already going astray in at home and in church. But as soon as I got out, oh man, did I go astray. I went so far away from Christ, from God. Most churches would never have wanted me in their church. I was like a shepherd or a leopard to a lot of religious types. And not always, but it does happen a lot when you go astray, you start to ruin your life. We start making a lot of bad decisions, sinful decisions, and they have consequences. But it doesn't matter how far down you go in this world, there was one that came in a very lowly place to reach you. It doesn't matter how far you walk away from that baby. He'll come and make sure you hear the message and call you to come back to Him. Just as the angels with the shepherds. And we don't have to stay like sheep going astray. Because sheep are not dumb. They just need a shepherd. God designed them that way. And He designed us to be that way. We need Him. Oh, can we do this life without Him? Yeah, you can. Can you be successful in this world? Yes. Can you have a good marriage in this world without God? Yeah. You can do whatever. You can do life without God. But in the end, what if you gain the whole world? What happens in the end? You lose your soul. Wouldn't it be better to have a shepherd that enhances everything that you do in this life? And then at the end, go to be with Him? All we like sheep have gone astray. We need a shepherd. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. You see, this shepherd didn't just come to guide us and direct us, to protect us. He came to save us. And so the shepherd had to lay his life down for the sheep. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet it opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb, as one of us. He was the shepherd, but He became one of us. And as a lamb, He was led to the slaughter on our behalf. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so He opened not his mouth. He was completely innocent. He could have defended Himself at all the little trials He had, even before Pontius Pilate. And He could have defended Himself and He could have proved Himself to be completely innocent. But if He had done that, the sacrifice for us would have never taken place. So He remained silent. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living. He was killed. Why? For the transgressions, the breaking of the law, the sins of my people. He was stricken. And they made His grave with the wicked, but with the rich at His death, because He had done no violence, nor was any deceit in His mouth. So the shepherd dies for the sheep, as one of the sheep. But what good is a dead shepherd? Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief when you make His soul an offering for sin, the plan that was there before the foundation of the world. He shall see, though, His seed. He's going to offer His life, His soul, for the transgressions of the sheep. The shepherd is going to die for the sheep. But then the shepherd, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul, the soul that was given up for an offering for sin, and be satisfied for the joy of the cross. He endured it. By His knowledge, my righteous servant. Remember, He came to be a servant. He wasn't born to be king at this moment. He was coming as a servant. God's servant. My righteous servant shall justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. And I wish it said all. But for Christ to bear your iniquities, to justify you in the eyes of God, you have to put your faith in Him. He won't force you. He won't take your free will away. You can stay a sheep that goes astray your whole life, or you can choose to come back to the Good Shepherd. So here in Isaiah 53, 600 years before Christ was even born, talks about the life of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Hebrews 13 says this, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will. Remember, the world says it's all about you. And you chase all the things the world says will make you happy. And you find out in the end you're not. Now see, if you come to the narrow way and you learn from God, you find out that we're here to do His will. And let me tell you, His will be better for you than your will could ever be. I'll guarantee you that. I'd bet my life on that. That He make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Closing verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I love that. Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who came, born in a humble, humble place, to be a servant, not to be a king at this moment, to be a servant. Jesus said, I've come to serve, not to be served. He came to live the life that we could not, to experience everything we are, to reach those in the lowest places, to reach those that are far off, to reach the greats. He talked to the leaders. He talked to everybody from the top of the echelon down to the very bottom and everyone in between. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's the one that came and lived the life and died for us. The Lamb. He became one of us. The Lamb of God. And He paid the ultimate price for us. And now if you will turn from your sins and put your faith in Him, He'll purchase you back. Claim you from the law that holds you prisoner. And the justice the law demands, your death. He'll purchase you out of that. Redeem you. And you want to have Him as the shepherd, your shepherd. Because this shepherd is going to return and not just be the good shepherd anymore. He's going to be the king. And not just the king, but the King of Kings. This is the one you must put your faith in. Where you are born again in Christ. The only one who can save us. And when He returns, and He will, whenever His timing is right, the good shepherd is going to return as the king. And He will begin a reign that will be forevermore. And we, His sheep, will be with Him. That's the future. That all started here. You know, and we've received great blessings from this and Christ and His death and His resurrection on behalf. But there's more to come. You see, the gift, this is really the gift that keeps on giving. The future. Him as King. And He will reign forevermore. That's what you need to look at and remember when you see the baby born in Bethlehem. See the big picture of who He is. But don't lose sight of the personal aspect that He wants with you to be your shepherd. Because He loves the sheep. He loves the sheep so much, He laid His life down. Come on up, team. The King who will reign forevermore. I'd like to close out the service while we sing that beautiful song. Beautiful song. So if you don't mind, if you guys would like to stand up with me one last time before we head out. Let's sing that song.
In the bleak midwinter, all creation groans, and for a world in darkness, frozen like a stone, light is breaking in a stable for a throne, and he shall reign forevermore.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, oh, to sing that just puts a smile, not just on my face, but all the way into my heart and soul. It's who you are. You are the King of Kings, because you are God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and maker of us. And you designed us, Lord, to be like sheep, to be dependent upon you. And that is a wonderful thing, because that means we can have a relationship with you. That means we're not insignificant. It means you see us and you love us. And we know you love us because you truly see us. You truly see us for what we are, all the things we've ever done, what we really are inside. And you love us nonetheless. And for that, Lord, we praise you and we thank you. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in here, if they're not to that understanding yet, one day will be, how much you love them what you came to do to save them. And that you want them to put their faith in you and walk with the good shepherd. And I pray, Lord, that everyone in here will. And I pray, Lord, that we'll go out and we will share this good news with other people. And Lord, we want to praise you and we thank you for the wonderful gift found in the baby born in Bethlehem. We praise you this morning. I thank you for those that are here this morning. It's good to meet with your people. It's good to be with the family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sweet fellowship. I thank you for them all, Lord. We praise you. We lift your name on high and ask you to help us go live in such a way we will bring honor and glory to the King of Kings. We pray this in the name given to us, the only name given to us that we might be saved, in the name of the baby born in Bethlehem, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Merry Christmas, Team Jesus. I hope you have a wonderful and beautiful holiday. I hope to see you if you can work it in on Christmas Eve. But God bless you guys and enjoy the holiday. And enjoy what you've learned. Ponder on it. Enjoy it. Hold on to it. Let's break out of here, Team Jesus. Count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.